From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
This is Alan Cairns saying hello to you. Thank you for joining us for Let the Bible Speak. To our regular listeners, we say again, it's good to have you with us. And if this is your first time tuning in, if you've just found us on the dial, then I hope you'll be blessed and you'll become a regular listener. The program seeks to live up to its name and let the Bible speak. There's one word we need to hear, and that's God's word. So I trust you'll listen hard, and may the Lord bless His word to you. This week we continue our studies in Colossians chapter 1. We're looking at verses 9 through 12 on the subject, God's goal for His people. Christians are not supposed to be self-centered, world-centered, but Christ-centered. God's goal for His people tells us that we are not to be aimlessly wandering through the world without any particular aim in view. God has a goal that He sets before us, and we will see in our studies this week that in three simple but profound terms, Paul sets that goal before us. So I trust you'll stay with us as in a few minutes we look into God's Word. First, our daily devotional Bible reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 3, one of the most beautiful promises in Scripture on a subject that I think must strike to the heart of every Christian. The subject is restored to usefulness. And the text, Isaiah 42, 3, is a bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. The reed and the flax, or wick, are descriptions of what God's people ought to be. The word translated reed signifies the stalk of wheat, if you look at Genesis 41, verses 5 and 22. It speaks of the stalk of wheat from which we may deduce that we are to grow and produce fruit. According to Exodus 25:32, it also signifies the branches of the candlestick in the tabernacle, indicating that we are to be Christ's witnesses. According to Job 31:22, it also signifies the arm bone between the shoulder and the elbow, teaching us that we are to be the Lord's strong instruments to execute His will and to do His work. The reed was used in ancient times as a walking cane. Christians are to be dependable in bearing the weight of trust placed in them, both by God and man. One kind of reed was used to produce sweet calamus for the holy anointing oil, as we find in Exodus 30, verse 23. We are to have the holy fragrance of Christ about us. At times the reed was used in musical instruments to produce sounds of beauty and praise. And that tells us that there should be no sweeter sound on earth than a believer's praise. The flax is the wick of a lamp or torch. It's meant to burn brightly and dispel the surrounding darkness with its light. It reminds us that Christians are, according to Christ in Matthew 5:14, the light of the world. Now all this tells us what we ought to be, but bruised reeds and smoking flax only add noxious fumes to the darkness. Humanly speaking, they're useless and they're hopeless, but not to Christ. Let me give you the bottom line. If you have fallen into spiritual defeat, if you've lost your usefulness, and the devil tells you you're finished, there is grace for you. The Savior can repair the broken reed. He can restore the brightness to the smoking flax. He will not discard you. Remember, even if your very brethren have given you up, the Lord has not. Martin Luther said, God does not love us because we are valuable, but we are valuable because God loves us. Each month, Let the Bible Speak produces what we simply call the Let the Bible Speak monthly tape, or CD for those who prefer it. This is a sort of electronic magazine, and it's a very useful thing to have. For example, some older folk may have difficulty reading a magazine, but they can listen to a tape or CD. Another example, some people are pushed for time, but have time as they drive here and there in their car. And a good tape can be a means not only of making the journey more pleasant, but of spiritual blessing to their hearts. The Let the Bible Speak monthly tape or CD has an exposition of Scripture, a devotional message, and a testimony or missionary segment, all with some good Christian music. Our monthly tape or CD is available to you free of charge if you simply write or call and request it. And I hope you will. I know it will be a blessing to your heart. So get in touch today. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS, 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you.
Thank you.
This week we have been considering the subject of God's goal for his people, based on Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. We have noted that God's goal for his people is progress, and secondly, his goal for us is fullness. Now today we want to proceed to look at this great truth, that God's goal for his people is holiness. And we will look to see the various ways and areas in which this holiness is to be worked out. So let's turn to Colossians 1 to look again at the Word of God. God's goal for us individually and as a church is progress. God's goal for us individually and as a church is fullness. And God's goal for us individually and as a church is holiness. And you'll see how he sets this goal before us in three major areas, and I will have time only to sketch them out. He speaks first of the will of God, that ye might be filled with the full or developed or mature knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Or as I think the text would indicate, we could switch where spiritual is, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. What's he saying here? The discovery of God's will. That's what we must know. We must know what it is. And then conformity to God's will. I repeat a quotation, or as near as I can remember to being a quotation, from Dr. Bob Jr. He used to say that God does not reveal his will to people in order for them to question it. God does not reveal his will to us to speculate upon. God does not reveal his will to us to argue about. God reveals his will to us to obey it, to fulfill it. The discovery of God's will, that you might be filled with this knowledge, and conformity to God's will in all that follows, in bringing it out in our lives. Particularly notice the terms, be filled with the knowledge of his will. The fullness of the knowledge of God's will is a fullness of the knowledge not of his secret purpose, not of his eternal decree. There's an awful lot of foolish people running around trying to poke their nose into the secret counsel of the eternal God. That he has such a counsel, I am delighted to acknowledge and to preach. That we are saved as the result of that counsel, I am delighted to proclaim. But I think that the warning of the old Irish articles of religion,
put out by the Irish Puritan Church, the Reformed Church under Archbishop Usher, having been the first British creed really to give such attention to God's eternal decree. Then they issued the warning against the folly of people seeking to dwell so much on God's secret predestination that they think they can peer into it. You can't. That's his business. Dr. Paisley used to say, when people got so worried about the secret of God's predestinating purpose, he used to say, and I never forgot this coming to me as a young man, not, I have to say, that I had made that mistake, but I heard him say it. He said, son, you just mind your own business and leave it to God to mind his. And that was very good advice indeed. Because we have in Scripture the revealed will of God. The revealed will of God. And we're to know it. We're to have a mature knowledge of the revealed will of God. We're to have a full and a comprehensive knowledge of the revealed will of God. Where do you find God's revealed will? In the law and in the gospel. Now, I've brought together two terms there that are absolutely fundamental to the whole biblical revelation. If you go back to Martin Luther, I'm not saying it originated with him, far from it, but if you go back to Martin Luther and then on to John Calvin and all the other great reformers and to the great Protestant confessions, you will find that the understanding of Scripture is basically a proper grasp of the relation of law to gospel. We are to know both as God relates them. But I want you to see this. You're to have such a knowledge of God's Word. You're to be filled with a mature knowledge of God's Word, God's revealed will, that you can take that Word and from that Word know what God would have you to do. We live in an age of moral dilemmas. We live in an age of the ambiguous, where it appears nothing's black or white anymore. Nothing's right or wrong anymore. Of course it is. But we live in an age when deliberately these lines have been blurred. And if you're going to be waylaid by the relativism of the age in which we live, you'll make a complete fiasco of life. But get a grip of God's Word. Get such a grip of this book that you know what it says on the issues. And what issues we have to face as we enter a new year? We're still living in a nation that, by law, murders infants by the million. We're still living in such a country. We're living in a country that is drifting more and more to the position that Britain is now in, where it officially sanctions sodomite marriage. We have states in the United States that have reached that hellish depth. We're living in a country where more and more the culture of death is being accepted as normal. And soon you will reach the place where you'll be afraid to go to many a doctor, not knowing whether he's going to heal you or whether he's going to kill you. That's the country we're living in. Now, it doesn't matter really what I think about it. It doesn't matter what you think about it. What does that book say about it? Do you know what it says about it? Could you give an answer If asked what it says about it, know God's word for the direction of his will. Of course, this refers also being filled with the knowledge of his will to the particular will of God in directing your life. I know that it has become popular among many fundamentalists to believe in a sort of species of Christian deism where God has started you on your way and you settle, he settles back and you just go on, and as long as you live morally and according to the commandments, it doesn't matter whether you're a preacher or a mail carrier or a garbage collector or a shop assistant. Now, don't get me wrong, you can serve God in all those areas, but if God hasn't called you to the ministry, you ought not to be a preacher. I don't care what your talents are. I believe in knowing the will of God for this. Every preacher I find in Scripture is one who had God's will to be such. Know the will of God. Romans 12, 1 and 2 tells you how to reach there, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And let me say this to you young people. You're living in a day when the devil has you blinded. Well, he's trying to blind you. Let's say he has you blinded. Trying to blind you with the glitz and the glitter and the glamour. And the promise, the empty promise of this foolish and filthy world. Just think back to last night, New Year's Eve. If you ever wanted to see the absolute emptiness, the stupidity of this world, just think of how the world saw it an old year and saw it a new year. You had tens of thousands of people in the streets of New York in Times Square. It's just an excuse to get drunk, party. All they can do is glorify a bunch of rock stars, most of whom are booze swilling, drug taking, adulterous, lecherous, filthy, ungodly, the scum of all the earth. Now, I'm trying to work to make myself clear. I'm trying to learn to speak a little more strongly than I usually do. I want you to see, this is what's now being set before you. And you young people, they'll stand up there in the glitter. I'm going to be very blunt. If it offends you, stuff your ears with your fingers now. You can take a prostitute and you can put her in a sequin dress. Doesn't change the filthy flesh that's underneath. And that's what you're looking at in the world. And that's what the devil uses to lure you on. To what? To what? Let me tell you, what is good, what is acceptable, what is perfect, is the will of God. And you, Paul says, should prove that for yourself. It's God's will. He speaks of your walk before God in a manner that's worthy of him. Now, I'm going to again examine you as I examine me. You're a Christian. You say, I've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, are you walking in a manner that is worthy of him? Unto all pleasing. That is in a manner and with a view to pleasing him in all things. Pleasing him in your private life when there's not an eye upon you. Pleasing him in your home life. Pleasing him in your business life. Pleasing him in your words, your thoughts, your actions. Pleasing God in every area.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.